I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Earth Day, Wednesday, the 22nd of April. Dan Price, CEO of Gravity Payments in Seattle, had a big surprise for his employees last week. He gathered the 120 people on his staff and announced that over the next 3 years, the salary of each of them would go up to a minimum of $70,000. 30 of his employees will double their salaries. He'll pay for the wage increases by cutting his own salary from almost $1 million to $70,000 and also will use 75 to 80% of the company's profits, expected to be $2.2 million this year. He started the company at the age of 19 from his dorm room after, he says, witnessing thousands of small business owners being overcharged and underserved by credit card processors. He wanted to level the playing field by making processing and financial services fair for community business owners. And now there are over 12,000 independent businesses who use Gravity. He is with us the first part of our program today. And a little bit later, we'll be speaking with two of his employees, who I imagine will be seeing very large increases in salary in the next 3 years. We'll talk about how this came about and if there will be more companies. We've talked a lot about this huge gap between CEO salaries and the average worker in most companies in the United States. Will we see other CEOs taking action similar to Dan, or is it just an anomaly? Our phone number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655, email talk at WPR.org, and our Facebook page is The Kathleen Dunn Show, where we'd love to hear your comments on this story. Hello, Dan. Thanks very much for being with us.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. It's actually a pleasure to be here. And I first started listening to Wisconsin Public Radio before I was 5 years old. I used to live there, so I'm really happy to be on.
I know. I just discovered that. You're from Milwaukee?
I was born in East Lansing, Michigan, but lived in Milwaukee until I was 5 or 6 years old.
Listening to public radio to boot, our kind of guy. Well, Dan, you sure made news last week. I don't know if you knew you were going to make such news, but you made a lot.
Not at all.
You didn't think so? You didn't think the story?
I mean, I thought that there would be a story there and that it would be covered, but not to the level that it has been. And to tell you the truth, you know, at the time, I was trying to, first and foremost, take care of people that were creating all kinds of success for the company, knowing that when you pay it forward, it gets paid back. Mm-hmm. And I was really excited about that. And I thought, you know, we might be able to inspire a few other people to think a little bit differently and do something similar. But I wasn't expecting, you know, a wave of a national conversation that, frankly, I think is overdue. So I'm not disappointed that it's happening, but it's not anything that I was expecting.
You started this company when you were 19 in your dorm room. You're obviously a guy who has great ideas. Tell me a little bit about the company and what your vision was when you were 19.
Absolutely. So starting my junior year of high school, I was helping out with a bunch of small business owners with odd tasks and different things, and I started to help them with procuring their credit card processing. And I found that the industry was very unfair to these independent businesses. And I tried to make it fair by negotiating on their behalf, and while I was able to do so for them, it wasn't really scalable, and I could only do so for a certain number of businesses. And I really appreciated the value that I could add for them, and I thought, well, I need to really have my own product in order to have this same impact on more and more businesses out there. So I started building the product, and I finally finished it up when I was 19 years old with the goal of someday making credit card processing fair for businesses. And so, you know, since then, we've come up with the goal of we want to be the company that's most associated with trust in the mind of business owners mm-hmm. and executives. And so that's kind of the big goal of our company. And also our 40-year goal is that we would like to basically be a game changer or part of a game changer where business goes back to being about service and it goes back to being about helping others. And the economics are actually flowing from those ideas. rather than the economics being the only thing that everybody's going after.
Right. So I read in the New York Times that you read this book or paper about happiness and how you needed to make a certain amount of money, and $70,000 was the amount of money so people wouldn't stress out about it, in order to have a threshold of happiness. If you have more, maybe you'll be happier, but you need that to not stress about money. Is that where the idea came from?
That's a big part of it, yes. So it's a 2010 Princeton study, and basically the conclusion of the study is that your well-being is being harmed if you're under that. Now, we all know people that have virtually nothing that are very, very happy, and so that is very admirable, and I frankly really look up to those people. But their well-being and kind of those basics are being harmed, and for me and my team especially, I know each and every one of them and the way they take care of our clients, and it's the same level of quality and service and creativity that I would use. And so I know for a fact that each of them is adding way more value to our company and to our clients than what they're being paid, even after they get up to the $70,000 a year pay rate.
Mm-hmm. So you have cut your salary to what everybody else will be making?
Yeah, you know, we're in growth mode. We're investing right now. And so I think that in the future, I will be able to take a regular market salary, and I'll be able to continue to have people starting out at 70K. And then, of course, I hope that many, many, many of them, all of them, progress beyond that. But in the short term, because we're investing so much in growth, there wasn't enough cash flow to make it all pencil out and make it all work. And so for me, I decided, you know, I could buy a vacation home or a ski lodge or something for a few million bucks, or I could take a temporary pay cut. And I asked myself, which one would make me happier? Which one would make me more proud? Which one's more in line with my character? And it was a clear choice.
You have a ton of phone lines, so I'm going to go. I know your time is limited. I want to go right to our audience. 800-486-8655 is our number. David in Madison, hi.
Hi, how are you?
All right, how are you?
I'm great.
Good.
Listen, I just wanted to call because this story makes me so happy. I'm a 38-year-old man. I've been a tradesman my whole life, and a story like this just about brings me to tears. I think that this guy should be commended, and I hope that in the future more people that are in his position take his type of a stance.
Thank
David,
you.
David, let me respond to that a little bit by saying, first of all, thank you for your encouragement, and, you know, obviously, you know, these people really deserve it, and it sounds like you got kind of the same heart that I do. And I would say to you and to everybody out there, we all know that income inequality and inequality of opportunity is not where we'd like it to be right now. And we all know that that's a big issue. And so I think each of us can kind of do our part in that. And I think, you know, for me, I'm just doing my one little part, which I'm proud of. But I think all of us can work together and hopefully start to turn the tide on this issue.
And do you think others will follow suit, Dan, or not?
You know, I think some may, because I've heard from some of my friends that they're going to. I even had a friend that said he thinks he's a lot smarter than me, so he's going to do $75,000, and I thought that was just fine. But the point is not to do this exact program, because, to be honest with you, I would be doing a way better service to any team member to spend time developing them and helping them grow their capabilities as opposed to just paying them more. And so for me, this provides accountability for me as a leader to make sure that I'm making those investments into our people, because I'm going to be paying them well either way. And so I really have to make this all work. And it provides the right amount of checks and balances and mutual accountability between me and the people that work here.
Thanks, David, for your call. Daryl in Bloomington. Hi.
Yeah, congratulations. You're
Thanks
setting
a lot,
an example
Daryl.
That everyone needs to participate in. But until they are educated to the fact that when they raise wages, if they do that across the board, it will the prices and products will not have to increase, because the sale volume and the number of sales will increase, and therefore there will be no inflation, and it will generate the sales tax revenue and the income tax revenue that big corporations tend not to pay. And it will balance our budgets and allow us to go into renewable energy and a whole lot of other things that we need to do to cut the cost of global warming.
Dan.
Daryl, I'll add to your point, because I agree with you. do you know that well over half of Americans are disengaged in their job? And a surprising number, I don't have the percentage off the top of my head, but a surprisingly high number are actively trying to hurt the company they're working for. This is not right, and it's because of some of these issues. And so when we actually take care of each other and care for each other in the right way, those things go away. And I would rather pay somebody $150,000 a year and have them really want the company to succeed and putting their whole heart and soul into it and loving their work and loving coming to work every day than have to not pay them anything and have them work for free, but yet have them wanting to hurt the company, wanting to hurt our clients. And so, ironically, you know, this stuff, a lot of people say it's crazy what I'm doing, but I think it can actually pay for itself just on its own.
Alan in Madison, hi.
Good morning, or actually good afternoon. Hey, Dan, I love this story, and I'm sure there's a lot of other business owners like you out there. My question has to do with, have you heard some of the negative comments that are out there? And I hate to even bring this into it, but...
No, not at all. Please do.
There's been a rash of really negative comments from, you know, these commentators on networks that think this is just some guilt that you have, or...
Yeah.
And I'm baffled by that, and, I mean, I just think it's a great story, and it's a good direction for us to go.
I am aware of it. I heard that Rush Limbaugh came out and said that we're going to fail and that everybody that works at Gravity is going to be not only unemployed but unable to get a job elsewhere because
Whoa.
I have killed their drive and motivation.
Oh,
and I actually heed Rush's word. I don't criticize him for saying that because I think that is something that we have to guard against and we have to make sure doesn't happen. At the end of the day, no idea is good enough to succeed on its own. It takes people to push it forward. So we are united around this idea and how it could work for us. And we realize that we are to be an example of how to live by your values and still succeed in a capitalist world. And so for us, we appreciate what Rush said. We use it as motivation. Another gentleman said that, you know, he hopes that we fail. He hopes that happens. And again, it's one of those things where, you know, there's a certain ideology of the only way to do business is to have the rich get richer and the poor get poorer, and we've seen the benefit of that, and there have been benefits to that philosophy, but we've also seen a lot of harm done from that philosophy. And so we think we can actually merge the best of those two concepts and create a company that really has it all.
We are living in a time when CEOs are making nearly 300 times what the average worker makes. In the 1920s, the ratio recommended by J. Pierpont Morgan was 1 to 20. Do you have a recommendation for a ratio?
You know, I'm not an economist. I think that mine was 1 to 20 or thereabouts prior to this announcement, and that to me seemed too high, but it seemed too high just from a practical level because I wanted to be living the same lifestyle, doing the same thing, spending my time and money in the same ways as the people around me, and it just was getting out of whack. And so on a personal level, it didn't make a whole lot of sense to me to have it that way. And for me, there's two ways to solve it, right? You can bring CEO pay down, or you can bring worker pay up. And for me, I've decided that I'm going to put 100% of my energy on bringing worker pay up. And if, as a consequence, workers are valued more and the CEO becomes a less critical role where they're not so overpaid, I'd be fine with that. But that's not what I'm going for directly. There's plenty of other people that are working on trying to bring CEO pay down. And there are too few people, in my view, that are working on creating more opportunity for everyday Americans to become into the middle class.
Mm-hmm. One more call for you, and then we're going to speak with a couple of people who work for your company. Joseph in Milwaukee, hi.
How you doing?
All right. How are you, Joseph?
I'm all right. I had to tell Dan that I was so compelled to call in. I'm not usually this guy. What you're doing is awesome. I hope that companies really understand all sides and perceptions that you're hitting and targeting on, but more concentrate on the main idea and scope of what you're trying to accomplish here. And, I mean, I'm so compelled. Hey, man, do you need a property director?
I'll bet you've had more than a few people wanting to work.
Thank you so much. And we don't right now, but I'd love to have you reach in and email. You can email info@gravitypayments.com, and it'll get to me if you let them know that we talked. And I'd be happy to connect and see how we could do something together or help each other out. So, I'm definitely encouraged by your comments. And, yeah, we've been really overwhelmed by the amount of support that we've gotten. And I think for us, you know, there's a business benefit for us, but we really hope that it translates into a change in the world where we're all helping each other out and holding each other accountable to get to this place. You know, it's easy to say, I don't want to focus on money and be under $70,000 a year. But when you're under $70,000 a year, you get in situations where you're forced to focus on money. So I want everybody to do what they can to get up there. I know it's harder for everybody than others, and, you know, we're all in different circumstances. And then I want those that are in leadership positions to take accountability, take responsibility. It's not good enough anymore to say it's their job to do it for themselves, and I have nothing to do with it, and I'm completely absolved of any responsibility. We as business leaders have to hold ourselves accountable to creating opportunity for those around us.
Dan, I'm not sure. I know we have to let you go, but I'm not sure we got that email address.
It's just info@gravitypayments.com. And actually, If you can tweet to me, my Twitter handle is @DanPriceSeattle. And right now I'm getting a lot of tweets, but I do try to respond to all of them. And it might take a minute or two, but it's just @DanPriceSeattle. And you can also find me on Instagram or Facebook.
Wonderful. Dan, thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Dan Price, we're going to continue with this conversation. As you can imagine, if you were an employee who was called into the room and you were making the average salary there is about $48,000 a year, you got the news from Dan that within 3 years, everybody was going to be making at least $70,000. The response in the room, I saw this on television last week. I thought this is just an amazing story. People were crying. They were going to get a house that they wanted to. They were feeling more financially secure. We're going to speak with two of the employees of Gravity Payments as we continue this hour and welcome more phone calls. We've been on this topic of income disparity for quite some time now, for some years actually, the disparity between the pay of chief executives and their employees. If you didn't see this story, Dan Price is the CEO of Gravity Payments. It's in Seattle, and he announced to the 120 people on his staff that over the next 3 years, the salary of each of them would go up to a minimum of $70,000, which means that quite a few employees will be doubling their salary. He's cutting his salary from almost $1 million to $70,000 and using money from the profits, also about $2.2 million this year to help pay for this. He's an entrepreneur. He was honored by the president in 2010 with the SBA National Young Entrepreneur of the Year Award, recently Entrepreneur Magazine's Entrepreneur of 2014. And he's obviously, just from the number of phone calls and from the response he's received, people are thanking him and hoping that he may become a model. Others, like the aforementioned Rush Limbaugh, are saying that his company is going to fail because of this. What do you think? Should there be, and I don't even know who would do this, a recommendation of what the CEO of a company should make compared to what the average worker makes? Should it be a 1-to-20 ratio? Is 1-to-300 way out of line? But what does it do to employees who receive the news that Dan gave them last week? We'll talk about that as we continue with two of his employees. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We speak with two of the employees now of Gravity Payments in Seattle who received this great news from Dan Price, and we'll welcome more of your phone calls. Jose Garcia is Deployment Manager with Gravity Payments. Jose, thanks very much for being with us.
Oh, thank you for taking some time.
Yeah, our great pleasure. And let me make sure I get your name pronounced correctly. Is it Nadelis Ortiz? How do you pronounce your first name?
It's Nadelis.
Nadelis, okay. Nadelis Ortiz, who's underwriting analyst with Gravity Payments. Nadelis, thank you very much for being with us.
Yeah, thank you so much.
So let's start with you, Nadelis. You were in the room. I'm sure everybody was in the room when Dan made the announcement. What did he say, and what was your response and the response of others in that room?
Yeah, well, I actually just started at Gravity Payments in January, so they asked all of the new hires to sit in the front row. It was my first quarterly meeting. I really didn't know what to expect, but we did know that the press was going to be there, so we all kind of had an idea an announcement was going to be made. We didn't know what it was going to be, but when he started talking, we kind of had an idea of where it was going. I think in my mind, I thought, oh, we're all going to get maybe a 5K bonus or something of that nature, but when he said we were all going to get a raise to 70K, it just blew my mind. I had no idea that was going to happen, and I was just sitting there in shock. I think I didn't even blink, just staring at him. So it was a huge shock, but a lot of different emotions were running through my head.
Jose, how about you?
Much like what Nileli said, it was. I have been with Gravity for about a year now, and I'm used to being appreciated as an employee. But this was a bit more of a shock and much more appreciation than I was expecting. But it was pretty, everybody's reaction was pretty slack-jawed, and it was literally a quiet room for about 45 seconds. And I'm not sure if nobody believed Dan or what was happening, but he had to interject himself and ask if we were all kind of freaking out along with him. And that was essentially the reaction for everybody. Everybody was just slack-jawed and quiet, and it took, like as I mentioned, about 45 seconds before we all, it really hit us.
Hmm. But you say that before this announcement, you do feel as though you've been appreciated as an employee. How is that appreciation shown?
Absolutely. It's honestly being known as a person and not an employee. Dan knows that I enjoy to go. He knows I enjoy going to watch a local soccer game, watching the Sounders. So he's extended an offer to, you know, use his personal tickets in the past. Asking how we're doing, you know, sending a random text here or there. I'm a person, not a number, and that makes all the difference in your workday.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just Dan. It's everybody that we work with. Everybody here has interactions outside of work in some capacity. It sounds really cheesy and cliche to say we're a family, but it really feels like it's an extended family. Everyone's looking out for each other. Everybody knows each other, and we're all doing what we can for each other on a personal level as well as at work.
Oh, what a nice thing. What a wonderful thing to say about a company. And Nadellis, I guess you got your job at just the right time, didn't you?
I did. It seems that way. I just moved to Seattle from Vermont
in
December, so it was my first job coming here, and I'd say it was a good choice.
Yeah. And what the kind of work that you're doing is interesting. Dan talked about how he wants his values to be at play when doing the kind of work that he's doing. You must both feel as though you're helping small businesses with credit card payments, right?
Absolutely. I think our main focus at Gravity Payments is on giving back to our customers and standing up for the little guy or gal. And with this raise, I think that we're all going to be able to dedicate ourselves a little bit more to our customers. And not only that, but we have other programs at Gravity Payments, like our Gravity Gives program, who gives back to the community. So I think we're just very focused on giving back, and that's something that really resonates within me. I was a Peace Corps volunteer, and I've been very involved in a lot of different community or social service programs. So this is, I feel like, a perfect fit for me.
Mm-hmm. What about this idea of $70,000? He came up with this because of an article study that had been done by some Princeton psychologists. Does that strike you as an amount of money that if you have that amount, you can think about perhaps getting a house? You don't have to stress out about car payments or money in your life. It's a fair salary. Does that strike you as fair?
Absolutely. I think I read a study that's similar to that, too. But for me personally, I'm a woman and I'm a minority, and I grew up in poverty when I was younger. So this is something I never even expected to come in my future. So it's just a huge surprise, and it just means a lot to me. So with this, I'll be making more than both of my parents combined. I called my mom as soon as I heard the news, and she immediately started crying. So it's just not only a really meaningful thing for me, but for my family as well.
Mm. How about you, Jose?
Yeah, to interject, it's interesting also being a minority and growing up in a more, I wouldn't say poverty myself, but definitely a lower income family, with my mother being a teacher in Arizona.
it's something that's allowing me, it's, you know, it's great news, yeah, it's fantastic, but it really allows me to not have to worry about trivial things, you know. What if I get a flat tire? What if my transmission goes out? What if someone, you know, I get in a fender bender? Having to previously really think about each one of those things being something that would really set me off course financially, now it's essentially peace of mind. And that peace of mind trickles over to my job, where I can just not worry about these trivial things that aren't trivial and now are trivialized, and I can focus on my work and then help the people and do what I am here to do and I enjoy doing.
Right. What do you make? There has been some criticism. I don't listen to Rush Limbaugh, but we were talking about Rush Limbaugh a little bit the first hour, and he said, somebody called in and said, Rush had said that your company's going to fail because of this. It's just not a workable economic model. People won't be motivated to work because there's no incentive to move to $70,000. Everybody's making $70,000. Nidelis, what do you say to that?
I think that's really interesting. I think when I first started it in January, that this was a company where all of the employees were really dedicated and to their jobs, and I saw them putting in extra hours every day, maybe eating lunch at their desk, not because they had to, but because they wanted to, because the culture here is really strong, and we're just very motivated. But with this, we're all just a little bit more motivated. As you can imagine, we've had a lot of publicity over this, so we're having an influx of merchant applications and things like that.
I imagine.
So we're all a little bit busier, but I don't think I've heard one person complain, and I don't think I will. And I don't think that's even particularly because of the raise, but because of how gravity works in general.
Jose, how about you?
It is interesting, only in the sense that I think it's hard for some people to grasp the idea of not being self-serving. I worked here before, as I mentioned, a year, and I was getting paid right around $37,000. And prior to that, I was very happy here. It had nothing to do with the money. I love the people that I get to come in to work with. It's all about helping our customers, and we're all here for the same reason. Everyone has the same mentality. And I always say that at Gravity, there's no such thing as going the extra mile, because everybody has that same mentality. So going the extra mile is the norm, which allows us to just kind of push forward every time. So the idea that people wouldn't be motivated just means they're not the right people.
Mm.
Everyone here is motivated to do the right thing. So it's just, as I mentioned, it's just a different mentality that I'm not used to. So to hear someone say people wouldn't be motivated, that just means they wouldn't fit in here at all.
Yeah, you both sound like such good-hearted people, and Nidelis, the fact that you were in the Peace Corps says a lot about you as well. How does Dan, I don't know if he does the hiring, but how do you get a workforce of good-hearted people?
Well, I think, at least for me, the application process was different than the ones I've experienced before. I worked for Homeland Security for a little bit, so I have a little. We're all very young too. I think our average age in the office is late 20s.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a lot of our first jobs. But in the application process, there was a questionnaire that kind of analyzed our personalities, and this helps them kind of analyze what kind of traits we have that we can bring to the company. And they just really want to get to know you and are very open in answering any questions that you may have. So I think they're just very focused on getting good fits for the company, and they're also very adamant about promoting personal and professional growth and give you a lot of opportunities to do that in your time here at Gravity.
We certainly welcome phone calls from our audience, and we are talking with two of the employees at Gravity Payments. They are among the employees who are going to see substantial raises over the next 3 years. Jose was talking about maybe he's a little bit up from $37,000, but he could be one of the employees who will see his salary doubled. Nidelis walked into the company at just the right time in January, and both of them come from backgrounds where their families didn't make very much money. So when they heard this news, they were in tears, as many of the other employees were. If you saw the TV, we'll try and find the video of this because it's really moving. When I saw it on the news, I said, we just have to do a show on this. So many people are so touched. In case you're just tuning us in and don't know the story, Dan Price, 29-year-old CEO of Gravity Payments in Seattle, decided that, you know, it was, he wanted to speak to this economic issue that has, that will be front and center in the presidential campaign that we've talked about for years now, and that's the disparity between the pay of chief executives and their employees. Many CEOs making 300 times what the average worker makes. Mr. Price said, the market rate for me as a CEO compared to a regular person is ridiculous. It's absurd. And so he decided to change that. He lowered his salary to $70,000 from $1 million, and over the next 3 years, everybody will make at least $70,000 in a, who works for Gravity Payments. They're getting a lot of attention. We'll talk more about the kind of attention they're receiving. But what do you think of a CEO doing this? What do you think about what Nidelis and Jose are saying about working with good-hearted people in an organization and sharing a vision and sharing the wealth, really? Our phone number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. The email is talk@wpr.org. Our Facebook page is The Kathleen Dunn Show, and you can also reach us on Twitter, and that's at K Dunn Show. When you think what would work best for a salary, what would you, what do you think you would need? If you could make, you know, not an extravagant amount, but what would make you not have to worry? What would make you a whole lot of money may not make you a much happier person, but a certain amount of money might make you a little bit less concerned about everyday living and expenses that people who don't make very much money have to worry about, and that creates stress and anxiety. And so would it be $70,000? What do you think of what's being done here, and do you think it will be replicated anywhere? We welcome your phone calls. We have two guests with us now who both work at Gravity Payments. Nidelis Ortiz, underwriting analyst with Gravity Payments, and Jose Garcia, deployment manager with Gravity Payments. We'll take more phone calls momentarily. Our lines are humming, so just keep trying and you'll get through pretty soon. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. All right, let's go to phone calls. Barbara in Milwaukee. Hi, Barbara.
Hello. I have some experience, not as a worker, but I knew a worker for Milwaukee entrepreneur Bob Sullivan. He started selling dental supplies out of a van to dentists, worked it into a multimillion-dollar business. He was so good to all of his employees. And when he got bought out by a bigger company, and then even though there was a non-compete clause, he found a way to start a mail order business. Only 5 employees. He used to take them out to lunch every month. Their friends or spouses were invited, and they would have a brainstorming session about what was working, what wasn't. And he would progress through. He would build the business up again, get bought out. One of the incarnations of his businesses, they went public, and when the shareholders were upset about how well he was treating his employees and all the benefits his employees got, he stood up and said, anyone who is not happy with the way I'm running the company, meet me after this meeting. I will be glad to buy your shares back, but those are the people who make our money for us. Hmm. Without them, we are nothing.
Is he still around? When was this company around?
This would have been in the 70s and 80s, and one of his last that I knew. I knew someone who worked for him, so I attended some of these, you know, brainstorming sessions. Mm-hmm. When it was just a 5-person mail order business for a Christmas party, he gave anyone who had any kind of mechanical ability got battery chargers and things like that, because with only 5 people in the company, they had to get to work. And the other people who didn't got AAA-type service as a gift.
Oh, that's great. Thank you, Barbara. And if anybody knows of these kinds of stories, send them our way, because we're happy to feature these kinds of places. Do you think that you're an anomaly? Do you think there are many companies like the one that you're working with right now, Jose?
You know, it's obviously my experience is my only personal experience, and I do know I worked for a very large nationwide bank previously, which will remain unnamed, and I was definitely a number, and every time I see the news here and they say, you know, oh, 120 employees are going to get a raise, I always feel like this little surreptitious jab, because
I don't feel like an employee here. I always say I work with Dan and with everyone else, and I'm actually Jose. I'm not employee number 72. And I do have other friends who have mentioned that, you know, they love where they work. You know, I never thought my passion would be credit card processing. My passion is helping people, and I am in the credit card processing industry, but I get to do what I love to do, and it's help people in any way possible. And I know that there are other people who love what they do, and they get treated well and treated correctly. And I'm hoping that, you know, those stories start coming out, and it's not about money. It's about doing the right thing for people.
Mm-hmm.
So I know that there's other companies that do that, and I think we just need to get them out in the light as well.
Yeah, I think you're right. One of the things that it's wonderful what's happening, but it's receiving such notice because you don't hear of many stories like Gravity Payments.
Exactly.
So we hope there are more. Nidalis, you mentioned that it was much busier since you received all this attention. A lot more people want to do business with the company, too? They're just finding out about you? Or what do you mean by increased attention?
Yeah, exactly. I think a lot of people are hearing about us from across the nation, and a lot of people are inquiring about and filling out applications to be taken on as merchants by us, and we're just trying to get everybody attended to, and it's been really great to see how many people are so inspired by the story. It's really great to see how many people are supportive, and we've gotten so many correspondences from even different countries. I know we got one from Morocco the other day, and just kind of crazy how big this exposure is and how everybody is responding to it so well.
Thanks.
Just to tail off of that, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead, Jose.
I was just going to mention that we also, and we've had people call in and write in who are not business owners who just say, hey, I really like what you guys stand for. Can you let me know of a business in my area that you guys work with so we can support them? All, you know, ranging from non-business owners wanting to just support us in any way they can to, again, companies willing to work with us and, you know, taking the time and the patience, really, to deal with us at this point in time when we are really, really busy.
Barbara, thanks so much for the call. Boyd in Wautoma, hi.
Hi, Kathleen, and hello to your guests. I think this is just a phenomenal show all around.
Wow.
You know, both of them mentioned earlier that I think even prior, before they were told the news of getting this just monumental raise, that they did feel appreciated and that they really liked where they worked. And, you know, that's sadly getting to be kind of a rarity. I certainly have had to work a few jobs where I just know there was one in particular, I won't name the place of business, and it wasn't like, oh, it's, I don't really like it. After a while, I just had a sense of dread of going there because the workplace environment was just so horrible. And then there was one place that, you know, started out well, but as the years went on and on, it had lost its luster. And, you know, I think, you know, even if you're making good money at one job, if the workplace environment is bad, if it doesn't feel like it's a family, if your coworkers are talking at you and not with you, after a while, you really don't want to be there.
Right. Thank you, Boyd, so much for your call. Anybody want to respond, Nidalis?
I completely agree with that. I came into Gravity making $36,000 a year, and up to last Monday, I was completely happy with that. I was really happy with the work environment here, and it was really motivating. And what I liked most about Gravity, or still like most about Gravity, is the opportunity for growth that I mentioned a little bit earlier. They really sympathize with what your interests and strengths are and cater to those. If you're not completely happy with what you're doing, they're very willing to help you use your skills to the best of your ability in the company. And that's really rewarding because you want to feel like what you're doing is having an impact. And if you like what you're doing, that's going to be even better. So I think regardless of the raise or not, I would have seen myself here for a while, definitely.
Jane is next in Houghton, Michigan. Hi, Jane.
Oh, hi. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, good. You asked if we were, what we thought of a CEO making the same as the base salary of his employees. and that he took a pretty big pay cut, Dan Price did, to be making $70,000. But I want to say that a lot of business owners don't pay themselves a salary, that their money is made then off of the profit of their company. And if Dan is paying his employees to attract good employees, he's going to make a profit, and he's going to be profitable. And I hope that the boards who hire the highly paid CEOs, thinking that they need to pay them a lot in order to attract talent, look at profits a little differently. You know, if you're paying for good employees, you're going to be making a profit, and your CEO will profit then from it too. Since a lot of times public companies are paid, CEOs are paid in stock options anyway.
Well, forgive me for entering a note of cynicism here, Jose and Idellis, but it also seems to me as though you have something that may not be one of a kind, but it's fairly unique in American society, because what we've been seeing over the last so many years is more and more of a widening of CEO salaries and average workers and people being able to purchase, you know, money, so few people owning this huge amount of wealth in the whole world. You have to believe that these are people who could let go of some of that and be just fine, thank you, and make a huge impact in the world. But there has to be some element of greed, a large element of greed, that's motivating a lot of people who are multi-billionaires, who don't have the same kind of value thoughtful philosophy that Dan does and the people who work for him do, that there's more to life than making money.
I think to say anything to the contrary would just be ludicrous, because we both know that's very true. I think the great thing with what's been happening with Dan and the exposure that the company has gotten is that it's new and unique, I should say, as you mentioned, and it's getting exposure, and hopefully that it starts something, some movement, not a movement, or forward movement, I should say, where people do realize that it is possible. It's absolutely possible to, you know, have somebody in charge of a company that isn't necessarily being paid 300 times, you know, the worth of someone else. Biggest hope is that it does at least open some eyes and, you know, turn some heads and start to get the cogs moving and have people thinking right about what exactly it is. As I mentioned, I had worked somewhere where I made about 2.5 times what I did here, you know, a few months ago, and I left that job because I was unhappy, and I was more than happy to work somewhere that I was appreciated at a lower wage. So I really do hope if anything comes from this, it's mostly that people know that this is a possibility. Not everybody will have the possibility to get an increase in wages, but to just bring that to the table and make it something that people are aware about.
I agree. It's an important conversation, and you have brought it to the table in a very personal way. Mary is next in Milwaukee. Hello.
Hello. Well, first of all, I'd like to say I applaud Dan for what he's doing. And second of all, I think he's got some unintended consequences from this. First of all, being a great marketing tool. And second of all, I hope he goes down in the history books as the person who changes this whole inequality income issue, because it's really time. So that's all I have to say.
Thank you. Thanks very much for the call. Alana in Appleton. Hi, Alana.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. I just wanted to say thank you. A lot of the negative people's responses that you hear, including Rush Limbaugh, have a lot to do, I think, with ignorance. They haven't seen it done before, therefore it must not work. But you always think like that until you see somebody else do it. So, and then I think the company is going to set an amazing precedent. I mean, it's going to get people thinking, trying, changing, moving the world forward. And I also think it's important to treat your employees like people, giving them the means to thrive. We'll get some people paying forward, just make them generally more happy, because I think the biggest problem people complain about at their job is a lack of appreciation.
Mm-hmm. I think you're right. Thanks, Alana, very much for your call. A caller asked, Nidellis, whether the $70,000 salary includes benefits.
It does, yes. It does include benefits.
All right. And Al sends an email. The study that Dan referred to also found that more than $100,000 a year causes stress insofar as it requires people to find ways to spend the extra money. Very interesting concept. I think most everybody would take 110. What do you think? I think they probably...
You know what? I'm already making small plans to pay off a little student loan debt, so I have no problem figuring out what to do with my money at the moment.
I'm sure. And Chris in Wisconsin Dells said that anybody who thinks the model will fail is probably wrong. Just look at Ben and Jerry's ice cream, which adopted a similar structure years ago.
Absolutely.
Absolutely, and a Vermont company.
Yeah, absolutely. You're right. So it must have been, there must have been something about the environment, Nidelis. Moving from Vermont to Seattle is one heck of a long way to go. You must have felt that there was something very warm and welcoming about the place where you are now.
Absolutely. Well, I had been living in Peru for the Peace Corps for the last 2 years, and I had returned in last summer. So I was kind of in a transitionary phase, but I had just met a lot of Peace Corps volunteers from Seattle and heard about the city, but from them. So I came to visit after I returned to the States, and I just fell in love. So I just came here, and I think everything just worked out exactly right for me. And I'm really thankful for everything that's happened to me since I moved here.
And Gary in Rhinelander, hi.
Hi there. Yeah.
Go right ahead, Gary.
Are you there?
Yes, we are. Go right ahead.
Yes, that I think that what these two have said about the Rush Limbaugh show, and that it will take out, you know, some of the abilities of the people and what they want to do, is exactly on top of what Dan is seen in his own people, that good people, no matter what they get paid or how a company treats them, they will still be a good employee. And Dan must have a lot of great employees for him to think of this and to continue on in doing it. So congrats to his whole company.
Thank you so much for the call. It does sound like Jose and Nidelis, you just arrived, but I'm sure you're feeling welcome too, that there are a lot of people who work for Gravity Payments who are good-hearted people. You go to lunch with him, go to dinner, do something on the weekend. It sounds like it's just a good people work there.
Yeah, and, you know, just really quickly, I have seen, you asked earlier, Nidelis touched on, you know, the people that are get hired, and I have seen people who are perfect on paper get passed up, not in a bad way, but just because they don't have, we don't get the feeling or the feeling that they wouldn't fit in, and they're not really a fit for our culture, which is interesting to me because, again, on paper they look great and it would look like they would be fantastic to, you know, make a sale or whatever it happens to be. But we're always on the lookout for the right people with the right mentality and the right heart, the heart in the right place, I should say, who are really willing to stick up for the little guy, because that's what we do.
Oh, that's what you do. You stick up for the little guy. Thank you so much. All the best to you. I'll bet you never thought a few weeks ago you'd be doing interviews all over the country. Did you?
Absolutely not.
I know. A new part of your job. Thank you so much. Nidelis, thanks, Jose.
Thanks. Thank you for having us.
Yeah, our great pleasure. Two of the employees at Gravity Payments, our guests, Nidelis Ortiz, underwriting analyst, who really just recently joined the company at, what did she say, $36,000, and it'll be up to $70,000 pretty soon. And Jose Garcia, who is deployment manager with Gravity Payments. And we earlier thanked Dan Price, CEO of Gravity Payments, who learned everything he knows about how to be a good-hearted person by spending the first 5 years of his life growing up in Milwaukee near Miller Park, right? And listening to Wisconsin Public Radio when he was five. Thanks to Marika Saval for producing this very interesting hour, and to Scotty Myers for on-air production here in our studios in downtown Milwaukee. News is coming up from NPR, and we'll return with another hour of conversation.